Now, Brother Frank Heron from the Edmonton Mayfield Congregation will consider a third principle, way in which we carry out our ministry, as he discusses the kingdom good news has to be preached first publicly.
Please open your Bibles to Proverbs chapter 1, verses 20 and 21. Here in the Proverbs, the saying of the wise man says, "True wisdom cries aloud in the street. It keeps raising its voice in the public square. At the corner of the busy streets, it calls out." How do these scriptures fit with our preaching the good news in the last days? Well, notice that first expression in verse 20, true wisdom cries aloud. It means that the kingdom good news is being declared in a loud and clear voice. But where? Do you see it there in the scripture? In the streets, in the public squares, on the busy street. It's referring to our public witnessing, our opportunities to go where people are. Notice it says streets, and then it says what kind of streets? Busy streets. We need to go where the people are. Areas of high pedestrian traffic. You know, as we learned in the first part of this symposium, we're always going to be going door to door, but I'm sure you've found, as most of us have, there are less people at home. We need to support our house-to-house ministry with the public ministry. It's critical, in fact, because it may be the only way that some people will actually get to hear the good news. Our tools or materials, as you can see here, include signs with attractive artwork, along with literature and magazines in a variety of languages displayed on tables and mobile literature carts. You know, if we go back to January of this year, January 2014, over 100,000 carts, stands, and literature tables have been requested from 53 branches around the world. And that's just a beginning of our public witnessing. Congregation elders have been asked to diligently search out potential locations for public witnessing. Where are they looking? Anywhere that people gather. Shopping centers, busy markets, a park, even public events like community fairs. And public witnessing is not just limited to city congregations. Rural folks need to shop and get together as well. So farmers markets and shopping areas may be areas that rural congregations could set up public witnessing. Permission is often not needed if we use discretion. And we make sure that we don't impede pedestrian traffic where we are and follow various guidelines. In fact, some congregations using the right approach have actually been able to set up public witnessing tables in airports and on various secondary education campuses. That's the elders' responsibility to find those locations, but what of all of us as publishers and pioneers? How can we get involved? Let your elders know if you would be willing to take part in what is proving to be an exciting feature of our ministry. Now, we'd like to look in on a demonstration of the public witnessing. We'll see in this demonstration three publishers are at our public witnessing table, and a fourth publisher is just leaving with the literature cart for a different site. Well, I think we'll chalk that one up as not a real good example. Publishers are more interested in their cell phones and each other than actually the people who came by and showed some interest. See, with the approach, or with the public witnessing, we don't approach individuals, but we need to be approachable, need to be smiling, alert, and have literature readily available for ones who come by. So let's do a do-over. We're going to see actually now a scene enacted that was a true experience that happened in a public witnessing in New York City.
Hello. Have you seen something that's captured your interest?
Yeah. What does the Bible really teach? Are you guys publicizing a book or something?
It is a book. It's actually a very excellent publication. This is your free copy. I'd like to get your attention to chapter 11, Why Does God Allow Suffering?
Wow. You won't believe this, but just this morning, I was asking myself this very question. I was wondering if I'd ever even find an answer. And then I got off the train, saw your display, and you're highlighting that question. Very neat. Thank you.
My name's Laura Minogue. And yours?
I'm Amanda.
And I'm Leslie.
I must say, Amanda, there's also a free Bible study that comes with this publication.
I don't know. Is that something I really need?
Well, let me show you something I just downloaded from our website that might help you to decide.
Okay.
Please watch this short video.
From the moment we can talk, we ask questions. Why is the sky blue? What are the stars made of? Why do bad things happen? Where do we come from? Why do people die? People go to great lengths to find answers. Today, there is more information available than ever before. But the big questions, questions about life, suffering, and death, still remain. Where can we find answers? What if the answers have been there all along in the Bible? A lot of people say the Bible is full of myths and legends, but it's outdated, or it's just too hard to understand. But is the Bible really the problem? Or is it what people think they know about the Bible? People think the Bible says that God controls the world. But how could that be? This world is out of control. It's full of pain and suffering, sickness and death, poverty and disaster. How could a loving God be responsible for all of this? What the Bible says may surprise you. It says, the evil one controls the whole world. In other words, there's an evil power behind the world's problems. Someone who is pulling the strings behind the scenes. That's why, no matter how hard we try, humans just cannot solve the world's problems. The good news is, the Bible says things will not always be like this. It tells us why we're in this situation, how God will fix it, and how we can deal with it in the meantime. The Bible is providing answers to life's big questions for millions of people around the world. Would you like to be one of them? Jehovah's Witnesses would be happy to study the Bible with you. Fill in the online request for a Bible study, and a witness in your area will call to discuss the Bible at a time and place convenient for you.
So, what do you think?
It sounds good. Where do I sign up?
Right here. If you've got 10 minutes more, I'll show you how we study the Bible.
Okay, let's start.
Well, did you notice the key result was not so much that a book was placed, but that a Bible study was started? So what have we learned from this three-part symposium? Overall, we learned that before the end comes, we are trying to reach as many people as possible with the kingdom message. Specifically, in the first portion, we focused on the house-to-house ministry and Mark 13 and 10 that told us that chronologically, the good news had to be preached first, and that should also take a priority or first place in our lives. In the second portion on informal witnessing, we focused on the thought from Psalm 45 and verse 1. God's kingdom is ruling. Christ Jesus has been enthroned in the heavens. That's something that should stir our hearts. It's something that's so good, people need to hear it, and we're the instrument to bring it to them. And of course, in this last part, Proverbs 1, 20 and 21, focused on the effectiveness of our public witnessing and focusing on starting Bible studies. So brothers and sisters, seize every opportunity to preach the good news from house to house, informally, in the public witnessing. The positive message of the good news is the best news ever.
Brothers and those who assisted you, we look forward to applying those excellent suggestions in the various facets of our ministry.